Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. It's about 30 verses. If you have a King James, read out loud with us. If you don't have a King James, just listen and watch. Let's stand and read God's Word. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and so on through the end of the chapter. Just such a beautiful chapter, I won't agree. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him.
And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them.
But he spake this parable unto them, saying,
What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it?
And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing.
And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.
I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she finds it?
And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost.
Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented.
And he said, A certain man had two sons.
And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living.
And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living.
When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want.
And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine.
And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him.
And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?
I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee,
and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him.
And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am I no more worthy to be called thy son.
But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet.
And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry.
For this is my son who was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they began to be merry.
Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing.
And he called one of his servants, and asked what these things meant.
And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.
And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore he came the father out, and entreated him.
And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends.
But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living in parcels, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.
And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine.
It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this my brother was dead and is alive again, for the lost and is found.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the clarity that you give us so many times as to what your will is and what your character is. I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and I pray that you would take this word by your Holy Spirit and touch hearts and lives that are here. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. I think this is one of the most beautiful chapters ever written anywhere. I think this is one of the greatest parables ever written. And actually, it's one parable. You notice, as we were reading, it said, He spake this parable unto them, not these parables. This is not three parables. It's one parable in three stages. There was a question. Jesus was always in a controversy. He did not have an easy ministry. Everybody didn't love Him. There were a lot that did, but there were a whole lot that hated Him and wanted to kill Him, wanted to shut Him up, wanted to stop Him. So His ministry was not exactly an easy ministry. It says in the very first verse, "Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him." You know, the publicans and sinners weren't really welcome around the Jewish religious group. They weren't really welcome in the church, in the tabernacle. They were sort of like outcasts, especially the ones that were just outwardly, openly sinners. They were looked upon as a lower class. The publicans, they're tax collectors. What a publican was a tax collector. Now, he was not a tax collector for the Jewish nation. He was a tax collector for the Roman nation, the conquering nation. And he exacted taxes off of the Jews to pay to the Romans, and he got his salary by how much more he could charge them. They weren't very popular. Nobody likes to tax people today, but it was completely different, a whole lot worse at this time right here. Now, who's following Jesus? All of a sudden, here's a crowd, and you can tell it's the low class, it's the sinful crowd, it's the compromising crowd. It's not the crowd that the Pharisees and scribes liked. And so they're complaining. Notice what their complaint is. The Pharisees and the scribes saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." To them, that was just absolutely awful. You're going to sit down at the same table with these sinners and have a meal? These are your friends. These are the people you're preaching to. These are the people that you're going with. So they looked down on him. And so they said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now notice verse 3. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying," this parable. It's just one parable in this chapter. Why in the world would God eat with sinners? Why in the world does God want to reach sinners? Why in the world would God want to have fellowship with a tax collector? You realize one of the disciples was a tax collector? Matthew, Levi. You remember when he was called of Jesus to follow him? He'd been a disciple of John the Baptist. And Jesus come by and called him. He left his work and followed Jesus. But by the way, he was probably a fairly well-off man. He made a big dinner. He invited all of his friends. I mean, the whole tax collecting crowd, they'll go for a dinner. You know how to get people to church? Invite them out to eat.
Amen.
They'll go with you. Take them right over here to that Australian place and buy them a steak and tell them to come to church. You just might get somebody. Well, these tax collectors, they went and they ate, and Jesus sat down with them and ate with them. I mean, here are some of the most despised people in their day, in that town, at that time, and Jesus is sitting down and eating with them. There were prostitutes. There were all sorts of people in that thing. And these Pharisees, they're watching. They see the crowds. They don't particularly let them jealous of the crowds. But they're looking at the crowd and they say, "Look the kind of people he's collecting. Look at the kind of people he's going for." Now, some of Jesus' parables are real hard to understand. They really are.
And if you decided to preach a message going through all of the parables, you might get yourself hooked up on a few of them. You might not be able to think them through clear enough because they weren't meant to make things really clear. But this is a parable that's just different. It's clear as a bell. You can't miss the message in here if you just read it and think about it for a little while. One reason why I wanted you to read the whole thing, and I didn't want you to have to listen to me reading it all by myself. He spake this parable unto them. What man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one, doesn't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go for that which is lost till he find it? Now, he said, what one of you, if you lost one of your 100 sheep, would not, as soon as you got them in the fold there and found at home that Georgie wasn't with you, I got to go get that dumb George. I got to go. They name them. I had a neighbor, bless their hearts, as soon as they're born, they named them things and called them by their names. I never can remember what I named my cow. What one of you would not go back to the wilderness where you had been, picked up that stupid goat or sheep, and brought him home? Why? Why is that important to him? Well, you know, I've been having animals on my place now for 20 years. I've owned a lot of cows. I've ate a few of them. I've sold a few of them. Some I've liked, some I didn't like. I've learned a few things about them. I am an expert at buying high and selling low. You want to know anything about it? Just ask me. I can give you the inside on that. I know how to buy them high, and when I sell them, they always go low. I don't know why, but I guess it's skill. He said when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders. I'm thinking that's a lamb. And he walks it home. What does that lamb represent? Prophet. It's his lamb. He raised it. It might represent meals. But it certainly represents profit. And the profit margin in most of the time in our agricultural society, and it's probably one of the best in the world, is very low. And a lot of good men lose a lot of money depending on whether it rains or not. And I got 3.5 inches last night. Eat your hearts out. It's about time. It was my turn. My wife started treating her preacher right. He puts that lamb on his shoulder because it's his. He raised it. He made it. If he came home with one minus every day or every week that he went out, soon he'd have no profit. Soon he wouldn't even be eating. Soon he wouldn't pay the bills. Soon he wouldn't have the land. Soon he wouldn't have the house. It's profit. It belongs to him. He's not going to let what belongs to him just wander away out in the wilderness. What man of you, if he lose one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he found it? And when he found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. You're going to see that word in here a whole lot. Rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now here's the verse. Verse 7. I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know what it's telling you? It's telling you that if God finds one repentant sinner today, he's going to rejoice more than for all of you that are already saved and already coming and coming faithfully with a good fellowship. That's the message of God. God wants repentant sinners. Amen. Hey, that's a pretty good message. Well, look at the second part of this. Either what woman, verse 8, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Now, this could fit almost anybody. You don't have to be a shepherd or a farmer or a businessman. This would fit anybody. You know, 10%, he had 10 coins and one of them's lost. That might be $100 or $1,000. Whatever it means, it might mean the difference between paying the rent. It might mean the difference in paying off the loan. It might mean the difference in eating for a month. It might be the difference in a whole lot of things, but I'll tell you what, I don't want to lose 10% of my check this month. You? Would you be in any trouble? Most of us live month by month. We don't have great stores of cash laid up, and no doubt this lady didn't either. You know what she did? When she found out she'd lost something, she swept her house. She said, I know it couldn't be anywhere else. And so she starts turning over things on the couch. She starts looking under the floor mats in the car. She starts sweeping out the baby's room. She does all sorts of things. Why? She wants to find 10% of her money. Why? It belongs to her. It's hers. She had it. She possessed it. She claimed it. She's going to hunt for it. Wonder what happens when she finds it. She calls her friends together and says, hey, rejoice with me. You remember that money I lost? You remember when I couldn't find it? I found it. I found it. Now look at verse 10. Interesting verse, just like 7. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You know how that woman was rejoicing because she'd found what she was lost, she had lost? Amen. It says God in heaven with his angels is rejoicing over one sinner that repents. God's looking for repentant sinners. You say, what in the world does he want with them? Well, go with the third part of this. Verse 11, and he said a certain man had two sons. You know, sons are always competitive. Now, they'll fight for each other, and they'll fight with each other. They're competitive. Here's a man, he had two sons. Now, back in this day, the inheritance laws were the oldest son got the most, got the place. Younger son was given maybe a certain portion of money or something else and sent off. Well, he has two sons. The younger one, who knows he's not going to get the place, he says, Dad, why don't you give me whatever's coming to me? And the dad said, okay. So he divided his living up, gave his older son what was there. Gave his younger son whatever his portion was. I imagine it was a generous portion. Sounds like this is a pretty well-off man. And the younger son hung around for just a little while, and then he got like most young men. Adventurous. I'm going to live my life. I'm bored at home. You ever anybody tell you they're bored at home? I'm bored at home. How many of you? How many prodigal sons have I got in here? Prodigal daughters. Amen. You didn't like it being home. You didn't want daddy telling you anything. And you did not want to go by his rules anymore. I'm going to get out. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to live it up. Boy, am I going to have a time. And he did. He took his money. He cashed it all out. Packed him a bag. And he took off for the far country. He didn't want to be around where somebody can say, aren't you the son of that man? Don't you belong to that family? I know your dad. Now, he went somewhere where nobody knew his dad. He went somewhere where he could drink and sport and have all the fun that he wants, all the sin that he wants, and nobody would rebuke him. Anybody like that in this room?
Amen.
Yeah. Maybe not as on as big a scale. But let me tell you what, we know what that rebellious attitude is, don't we? Amen. Well, that's what he did. And you know what happened to him? What likely happened to you? You run out of money. You know how many friends you can have if you have a lot of money? Everybody's your friend. You buying the drinks? You paying for the steaks? Everybody's your friend. What about when your money runs out? You don't have any friends. They all disappeared. When your money went out, they disappeared and left you flat. Man, he's got no friends. He's got no money. Oh, a famine went through the land. When do famines generally come? When you're broke?
Amen.
Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
You know the troubles come in your life? They come when you're broke, when you're down, when you don't know what you're going to do about it. Everything looks almost impossible. And hey, that's a part of life. Famines do come. Droughts do come. He said, man, what am I going to do? So he went over to a rich farmer, rancher, and said, can I have a job? He sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, I think this right here, I think the worst thing a Jewish boy could do would be feed swine. I think that would be something that would just blow his mind. He's out feeding swine, and he's so hungry that he want to eat just exactly what the swine were eating. And there's a little verse in here and with a phrase in it. And when he came to himself. When he came to himself. You know, we don't look very far forward, most of us, when we're young. We can't see much more than tomorrow. He didn't have a long look. Or he could think about what the long-standing investment would be. He's invested his money in fun, in pleasure, in drunkenness, and whoredoms. He came to himself. And you know what he thought about? The workmen at my dad's place live better than I'm living. The workmen. I think I'll just go home and say, Dad, forgive me. I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I know that. Would you just hire me? Would you hire me? Wow. And the more he thought about it, the better he liked it. He made up his mind. He headed home.
Amen.
He didn't have any shoes. He was dirty. He was nasty. He didn't look very good. People probably wouldn't want to pick him up as a hitchhiker. He's coming along, he's going home, rehearsing in his mind how he's going to confess to Dad, Dad, I wronged you. Dad, I don't deserve to be called your son. God, forgive me. Just make me one of your servants. And when he gets a long ways from the house, that dad had been walking that porch maybe years. Certainly months. As far as he was concerned, his youngest boy was dead. He hadn't heard from him. Nobody else knew anything about him. No letters home. He's dead. And he's walking out there, I wonder. And then he sees the shuffling down the road there. That looks like my boy. Walks like my boy. It is my boy. And he ran out to him and hugged him and kissed him. And the boy said, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Could I work for you? Would you make me one of your hired servants? And his dad hugged him. And his dad kissed him. And his dad brought him home. And he saw a servant or two out there at the front. And he said, get my best robe. I want my Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. I want my wedding attire. I want the best robe I've got. Put it on this boy. Give me a ring. He doesn't have any rings on his hands. Give me a ring. Put a ring on his finger. A great big ring. Put shoes on his feet. And you know that calf out there, that fatted calf? The one in the stall that we've been feeding corn to? Kill it. We're having a barbecue. Invite the friends, invite the neighbors, invite all of the people of the place. We're going to have a party. Why? This my son was dead. He's alive again. I lost him. I've got him back. I didn't think I'd have him back, but boy, he's come alive from the dead again. Praise the Lord. He's home. Let's celebrate. What a celebration. The older boy, who had been a hard worker, a good man, obedient to his father, he comes up from the field. He's out there working. He comes up from the field and said, he hears music and dancing and they're eating, and boy, what in the world's going on? He's running the place now, you know. Well, your brother, he's come, and your dad has welcomed him and killed the fatted calf. They're having a party right now. And it made him mad. Honestly, he has a right. He has a right. Think about it. His dad goes out to entreat him. He didn't go out to rebuke him. He didn't go out to fuss at him. He went out and entreated him. The son tells him what he thinks. I've served you well, and you never even gave me a kid to have a party with my friends. This son who's wasted your substance with riotous living, with harlots, and as soon as he comes in, why, you throw a party for him and kill the fatty calf. You notice what he said to him? Son, you are ever with me. And all that I have is yours. You got no reason to complain. Your brother was dead, and he's alive. It was meet that we were merry and we had a party. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Not all of your fathers. But I tell you what, if you're a normal person, when you become a father, something very different happens in your life. I grew up probably 10 years as soon as my first son was born. The weight, I mean, I was free as I could be. Just having fun. I didn't marry Verlene to take care of her. I married her because she could take care of me. I didn't marry to bless her life. I married because she's going to be a blessing to my life. Isn't that the way you were?
Amen.
And when that little boy was born, and after a few months, it changed my whole life. All of a sudden, I was held hostage. I was held hostage. Boy, I tell you, they grab a hold of you. You don't think they can, but they do. And me, I'm the baby of the baby. Probably almost on both sides of my family. I didn't know what to do with babies. I had never changed a diaper in my life. I'd never fed a baby with a bottle. I'd never walked them or driven them till they got to sleep. Boy, did I learn a few things. But you know something? You never get away from your kids. I got 5 kids. I love them, every one. I'm proud of every one of them. When they hurt, I hurt. When they're in need, I suffer. I don't get away from my kids. He didn't get away from his kids. He said, son, you're ever with me. Everything I've got is yours. But your brother was dead. He's alive. I've got him back. You know what that means? A father understands that. A shepherd understands it. A woman who's lost some money understands it. A father who's lost a son, he understands it. And what is the message? For God, you belong to Him.
Amen.
Maybe you're like me with short legs and a big body. You can tell I was not built for racing. I was built for falling on you or bumping into you. Football was the only thing I was ever any good at, really. And that's just to run in and hit somebody, you know? If I fall on you, you're in trouble. Sons, when they hurt today, I pray. When they're hurt today, I'm talking to God about them. When I don't think they're making the right decisions, when I think they're not thinking straight, I pray. When they started going out on dates, all of my five, I couldn't protect them. I couldn't keep them from harm. You talk about feeling helpless, I felt helpless. I prayed. I didn't go to bed till they got home. My wife, she turns into a pumpkin at 9 instead of midnight. Or she used to, before she got old. You know how that father felt? You know how that father felt? Let me tell you. He felt like God feels when he sees the creation of his hand, wicked, broken, ruined, fallen, in disease, in trouble. He looks down on it and he said, they're dead. I made them to live. I made them to serve me. You may be tall and skinny and don't want to be tall and skinny. You may be short and fat and don't want to be short and fat. You may be ugly in your sight and everybody else's sight. But that doesn't mean God doesn't love you.
Amen.
That doesn't mean God didn't make you.
Amen.
It doesn't mean God doesn't have a plan for you. And when God sees you broken on the side of the road, He hurts. When God sees you making a mess of your life, ruining it, going into addictions, divorcing, deserting children, deserting husbands or wives or family, He hurts. Why are you eating with publicans and sinners? Because they're mine. I created them.
Amen.
They're broken. I want to mend them. They're diseased. I want to heal them. They're discouraged and down. They have no faith. I want to lift them up.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to bring them out of the dung pile. I want to bring them out of sin. I want to bring them out of sorrow. I want to bring them out and bring them back to me and give them life.
Amen.
That's why this says, when that shepherd came back, he said, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Or what it says in the 10, likewise shall there be joy in the presence of the angels of God in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. You know what you need? You don't need to come to God without repentance. You need to come to God like this boy did.
Amen.
He didn't come back proud. He came back humbled. Amen. He came back and he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. You talk about a humbling. That's repentance. That's repentance. You need an attitude change.
Amen.
You don't come to God without an attitude change. You come to God because you have need.
Amen.
You don't have food to eat. You don't have clothes to put on fresh. You don't have a place to stay. You don't even have a job that's worth having. You're broken and you're ruined by sin. And God looks down at you and He said, come home.
Thank you, Lord.
Come home. I don't think there's a clearer chapter in the Bible on the attitude of God. Wow, what a clear thing. He makes it so clear that a shepherd could understand, a housewife could understand, and a father could understand. They understand. God made you. God doesn't want you wicked and ruined.
Amen.
God doesn't want you bound in sin, where it's keeping you as a slave, where it's hurting you every day and hurting your family and hurting your children.
Thank you, Lord.
You as a father have to think about the way you live because of your children. Yeah. Young man doesn't have a wife, doesn't have any children. He don't have to think about things like that. It hadn't got a hold of him yet. He's not a hostage yet. He's not held and bound by the love of these kids and the responsibility of these kids. But you know what I'm talking about. That's the way God is. You're what He made. He wants you alive. He wants you rejoicing. He wants you forgiven. He wants you in His home.
Amen.
Eating the fatted calf. I think that's such a clear message. God Almighty loves you. You're not lovely.
Amen.
You ever heard someone say, I don't know why God came for me? Oh, I've said that all the time.
Amen.
I say it over and over again. How come I got saved and my friends didn't? How come it happened to me? How come I didn't die on that gasoline truck? The love of God. The grace of God. The opportunity of God. Wow, the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. Every Christian ought to be rejoicing. Every sinner ought to have hope. Every sinner ought to have hope. You may not have ever been saved. I don't know. You don't may not have it clear. God wants you in His family. God wants you in His house. God wants you healed, repaired, made new, alive. That's His love.
Amen.
He made you. You're His. You belong to Him, whether you believe it or not. Everybody in this world belongs to God, whether they believe Him or not. Whether they're saved or not.
Amen.
Yes, the saved belong to Him and the lost do too. But God has a welcoming hand out. You know, there's a great big word. Four little letters. It's a great big word. Come. Come. That's the invitation of God. Come. Come unto me. Are you laboring? Are you heavy laden? You got problems you can't bear? Come. Are you lost? Are you addicted? Is your body ruined? All your hope gone? Come. God's great invitation is come unto me.
Amen.
Come unto me. I came. Best thing I ever did.
Amen.
Was repent of my sins.
Amen.
And ask God to forgive me.
Amen.
If you're here today and you're not saved, He'll save you. You come to Him repentant. You come to Him like this prodigal son came home. Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Father, God, forgive me. I've let you down. I've let everybody else down. Forgive me. Make me one of your servants. Let me tell you what God will do. He'll do it.
Amen.
Oh, what a great promise. What a great promise. God Almighty is like that Father looking for you to come home. Come home to Him. Let's sing number 249.